Doing the Unthinkable, commentary for the March 6, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 9. Who has not seen the television commercials by the televangelist Peter Popoff? He offers to send small pockets of miracle water for free to anyone who calls in and asks. In the commercials, individuals testify that they receive the miracle water and soon receive thousands of dollars, the implication being that you can become wealthy by simply using the miracle water. This con game is simply a pop-off twist on the prosperity theology being hawked by many charismatic preachers who have their eyes on this world's goods instead of heaven. Perhaps impatient at waiting for heavenly rewards, they have decided to have it all now. Mansions, private jets, rivers of money, they want to live like the rich. They have become skilled at tapping into that same vein of desire in others. They promise wealth and prosperity to others, and as their own wealth increases, they point to their own prosperity as a proof of what they are preaching. They do not mention that the wealth is the result of the many people who have been duped into sending them money. They cite Bible texts like, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health," 3 John 1:2, and Isaiah's promise, "to give unto them beauty for ashes," Isaiah 61:3, as proof that God wants everyone to be wealthy and blessed. But they cite these texts in a distorted manner that negates the actual words of Jesus, who said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Mark 10:25. Because of the pointedness of Jesus' words on this matter of pursuing riches, many have tried to deflect their implications. Some have claimed that Jesus did not really mean it was impossible, even though the disciples apparently understood it that way. They offer up that Jesus was referring to a gate in Jerusalem called the Needle Gate that was so narrow that camels had to remove their burdens to go through. Therefore, while riches obviously could not be taken to heaven, they were to be wished for on this side of that narrow gate. The problem with this explanation is that there never was such a gate in Jerusalem. And in the Koine Greek, the needle Jesus mentioned was literally a sewing needle. Lest we become tempted to see it as a metaphor, not only did the disciples take it as literal, but Jesus also responded to their concern based on it being literal. This is also bolstered by Jesus' life and preaching about deferral of reward in the present. He even went as far as to state that seeking reward now can mean loss of future heavenly reward. The message is, why should we settle for an earthly reward that is far less desirable than a heavenly one? But so many do, eschewing a life of service and self-denial. This is far from the example of Christ. Jesus began his ministry by first going out into the wilderness to face temptation over appetite, presumption, and an easy path to wealth and power. The entire account may be found in Matthew chapter 4. He was hungry and had the power to end his hunger. So why not sate that hunger? Every dieter knows the power of this temptation. Judging by the current epidemic of obesity, most of us are not doing well in this area. Next was the temptation to presume that because he was fulfilling God's purpose, anything he did would be blessed by God. This is a temptation that many also fail. Prosperity preachers are among those who are tripped up here. One simply does not call themselves a preacher and then presume that everything they say or do comes for the Father's will. Such an attitude would be a powerful temptation to God to set you straight. The end of that might not be very desirable. The final temptation is the one directly relevant to the matter at hand. We are told that the devil, who seemed to like multimedia presentations, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of this world and offered them to him if he would only fall down and worship him. Some might ask how he could give what already belonged to God. But God had given dominion over the earth to mankind. Man was the ruler of this world until, at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he transferred his allegiance to Satan, allowing the devil to have the dominion that mankind did not value. Jesus recognized this claim that Satan made upon the earth as valid. He knew that the devil did have the power to give him the earth, but it would only be by doing as Adam and Eve had done, accepting Satan as his master. Fortunately, he did not accept such a bargain, even though it was offered as an easy way out, a way to regain ownership of the world without the path of suffering he was surely facing. We are so easily distracted by the gleam of prosperity and power. We do not see the wizard behind the curtain offering to fulfill those dreams. He will promise everything we want if we will only support him in continuing his charade. He has many already enthralled to his service, politicians, wealthy businessmen, celebrities, and yes, even preachers have given him their oath of loyalty. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Satan is aware of our desires. Although he cannot read our minds, he can hear. We tend to talk constantly about those things we care about the most. This gives him all he needs to promise to make it easy for us to do those things if we only follow him. We might be tempted to take that easy path, the one without struggle and hardship, but eventually God will come walking, looking for us and calling us to him, like he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Will we come running, happy to see him, or will we hide in shame like Adam and Eve because of our devil's bargain that cut him out of the picture? The devil has a special ability to use our most worthy aspirations to draw us into a morass of degradation and immorality. He will even use the Bible to do so, just as he used the Bible to tempt Christ. Is there a sin we feel very strongly about and want to end? The devil will tell us he wants that too. He will even lead us to others who want the same thing. And because the cause is so noble, he will convince us to look the other way when we discover that those with us in this cause are guilty of other things as bad as, or worse, than the one we are all fighting. He may even make sure we do not notice that for all our fighting against the immoral activity we oppose, nothing changes. Laws may be proposed, some activities may be curtailed, but the problem never goes away to any significant degree. This is not for lack of trying on our part. It is simply because change must arise from the heart, not outwardly. The devil has no power to do that. Neither do we. Only God can give us a new heart. For thousands of years, mankind has struggled to remove evil from the face of the earth. But today we have just as much evil as ever, often ironically multiplied by our efforts to eradicate it. We push against the tide of evil in our own strength, not realizing that our coercive methods say more about what party we are part of than our noble-sounding goals do. Jesus came to show us that service and not coercion is the path to human hearts, and he invites us to be part of that effort, to join him as he walks through the garden of the earth, calling to see who will come running. He will not stop searching until he is able to offer everyone a fair chance to come back. That's what love does. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find this commentary and others like it, as well as the footnotes for this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.